Welcome to Grief Sucks, Life After Loss. I'm here today with Andrea.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for agreeing to share your story with us today.
Yeah, no problem. I have a lot of experience with grief, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. That's one of those things, like it's one of those skills that it's good to have, because then you can become relatable to other people, and you know what I mean?
But it's awful that it's a skill that you have.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I think I was talking to my therapist about this last week, and I was like, okay, so I'm going to go do this thing. And he's like, all right. It's like, well, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, just grief in general, you know? It's like, okay. He's like, well, what do you think that you're going to get out of it? And I was like, if it's going to help somebody else, then I'm here for that. Like, as far as I know, that eventually reflecting back on things, it'll come to me in a different way later on down the road, maybe. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just freely talking about it, maybe to someone other than your therapist, I think that helps in a sense too. But I do think what we're doing will help a lot of other people who may feel alone, or like Shelby and I talked about, we're dark people when it comes to death.
Like, yes.
We're not really normal. So for those people that are going through things like that, and you have those odd thoughts that you're like, this is not normal for dealing with this stuff. But it is. I mean, you're not the only one out there like this.
Yeah, definitely. I had one of my cousins who was younger than me. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a phone call, and one of my aunts told me that he got shot and killed. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
oh no.
What? So he was 32, and it was just a very, very sad situation of what had occurred. And, you know, a lot of living in a small town, there's a lot of assumptions about what really happened. And, you know, so things can get messy in that regard too, and make it that much more difficult when you're trying to grieve. So it's,
well, I'm sorry
been
to hear about
interesting
that.
trying to help the family, you know, see through all the web of nonsense, you know?
And that's hard sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And it's at 32, geez. It seems like the deaths are getting younger and younger. And it's almost like every morning I open Facebook, there's somebody dying. And there's more and more younger people and more kids. And it's hard to make sense of it. You know, it's like, why? Why? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I do struggle with that aspect of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a tragic accident happen on our property over the summer. And it involved one of our travel soccer girls drown in a lake. And just not only going through it as an adult, but then watching all these kids experience that type of trauma that young and everything, like, it's still really hard. But then, like, I see how the girls honor her, you know, and at every chance that they get, and I'm like, at least they're, you know, they're trying to find their own way through things. It's wild.
How do you, because I have thought about you guys a lot since that. What did you do to help your daughter kind of get through that loss? Because, I mean, that was huge for her, right?
Oh, yeah. She was down there whenever it happened. So, you know, as a parent, your mind's everywhere. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what's the right thing to do? So we just, Thomas and I both handle grief very differently. I now know that I have to go and talk to somebody, and I need to talk it out to the fullest extent before I can come to grips with it and then move along. That's not how Thomas is. his process seems much quicker and more just
keep moving in his way.
Yes, yep. Exactly. So I remember, I tried that at one point in my life. That didn't work for me either. But
and we all process everything differently, and it working talking to a therapist works for you. When I went to a therapist, I'm like, I'm pretty sure you never lost anybody a day in your life. You're probably not working out for me. I went twice and I was done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was really open with Emma about why I needed to go to therapy and what I was experiencing. I kept it. I didn't give her the full script version of it, but you know, I was very open with her about the things that I was dealing with, and that from things that I've experienced in the past, I know that certain things are going to hit me differently at different times. So I knew that, you know, being around all of the girls after that happening was going to be really hard for me. Like, that's just how my brain works. And, you know, at the same time, it was really comforting to see them all together too. So I explained that part to her. Thomas asked her if she would be interested in going to talk to anybody, and she said no. She wanted to be more artistic, and she journals, that kind of thing. So that part works for her.
And that works for me too. That was a big part of mine, was journaling and writing letters and just a lot of self-reflection. But as a parent, it's so hard to navigate that. You don't know. A, they mostly don't want to talk to you about it. And in a sense, maybe they don't know how. But you just don't know if you're doing it right, if you're doing it wrong, if you're going to fuck your kids up, if you don't know how to navigate it. And we're all just
winging it. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And that's the thing, like, I try to, if I know that I'm having one of those days where my anxiety, as soon as I wake up, it's already at like 70%. Whenever my feet hit the ground, I try and keep that in the back of my head, that whenever I go to 100 really quickly, it's because, hey, you started out here today and you only had this much before you were tapped out. And that's okay. So yeah,
absolutely.
Trying to explain that to Emma too, like, you're going to have days where it's going to hit you harder and you're not going to be able to give as much as you maybe you want to. And that's okay.
Yeah. Some days you can give it your all. And some days you don't got anything to give. You're happy you got up today.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wild. That's for
but
sure.
But it's all okay. It's part of navigating it. It's part of learning how you get through things like this, and the grieving process I don't think it ever goes away. I think we're always going to have those days, especially when it was tragedy or sudden or things like that, you're going to have those days where sometimes you're going to cry all day, or you're going to cry for a moment and then you're fine, or something's going to remind you of that person or whatnot. I had, it was last year at the nephew's birthday party. Literally, I woke up and I cried all day, the entire day. I left his birthday party, drove all the way home to get his gift, and drove all the way back. And I just cried all day long. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, why can't I stop?
Yep. I had a similar situation. Emma's birthday after my mom died. I remember, like, I was so anxious about all of those holidays. Like, my mom passed away in, let's see, May of 2020. And then it was My sister's birthday was like that following weekend after the service. I guess my birthday and then Emma's birthday. So it was just, several like things that my mom would have been there for right away, and she wasn't. And I was so anxious about it. I was like, just don't have any expectations about the day. Just let it happen. But my anxiety was already at 200%. And, like the smallest thing would go wrong. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll go do that just so that I can like have a second to myself and just like feel whatever is happening. And then the mom guilt sets in. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be at my kid's birthday party. But here I am running, trying to go get water balloons that somebody else easily could have gotten. But like wanting that control over something. If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you like you said, the mom guilt sets in, but at the same time, I mean, you can only do so much. And sometimes you have to walk away because if not, you're a slobbering ass mess in front of everybody. And then you have to explain to everybody. And everybody's like, "What's
Right.
wrong?" And you're like, "I don't want to deal with that either. So just tuck
Right.
myself away for a minute, try to get to
Exactly,
the top."
yeah.
And come back and try again. Reset, if you will.
Yes. The yeah, like this time of year, the holidays setting, and like now at this point, like I don't have any parents left. So that's interesting. I'm 35 and it's just me and my siblings and our families that we've created now. So it's a very, very weird thing. And I imagine that on your end too, being so close to Valerie and everything, that this is a hard time of year for you too.
Oh yeah, holidays are, I mean, holidays are hard regardless, but we try to, don't know, we try to just keep pushing through. Like this year I really want it to be in the whole holiday spirit, and Dylan's like, no, not feeling
Yep.
it at all.
Yeah, our
So
tree here at the house isn't set up or anything yet. We're behind schedule.
mine is up and it has lights. And it's not going to get anything else. That's as far as we're going to go. We don't have stockings. We have bags. And I think I had bags
Hey, I
last year
love that.
too. I
I
know,
love that.
I think we did the same thing last year because we didn't pull everything out of the attic. We just got down the necessary stuff. And it is what it is. I mean, we're just going to go with it. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but we'll get through it as we always do. But of course we'll miss those people that are no longer with us. And it does make holidays a little bit harder.
Yeah. It's weird because like my traditionally in my family, like I would host Thanksgiving, my sister hosts Christmas, and then my mom would host Easter. So now that mom's out of the mix, Easter just kind of doesn't, it just falls to the wayside. But it's like the week before the holiday, and my sister and I are like, oh yeah, hey, are we hanging out? Are we getting together? Are we gonna do anything? And I'm like,
That's
it's
funny because
not the same.
Easter is one that we've totally skipped since KJ's been gone. We just simply don't, we don't do anything. We normally, we've done the movies, we get in the car and just road trip it, but we don't do anything for Easter anymore. But my kids are grown too, so that makes
Yeah.
it's just
Different
sometimes
type of traditions too.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes when you're missing those people, like some holidays you would just totally skip if you had the option to. Easter's
Yeah.
an easy one to skip, so we just do. Like,
Yep.
that's the one out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's interesting. Like I remember so much about the holidays specifically with my parents from whenever I was really little, and like all of those little traditions that like now I don't have access to that house anymore. And I don't have access to all of those special little things, not just my parents, but just the way that it ripples out. And I think that makes it that much harder to miss them during the holidays, because you're not just missing them as a person, you're missing everything that goes along with it, all of those memories and things.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a whole lot of emotions, when, especially when it comes to holidays. And then you find new traditions, and you find new, like you said, the families that you created. I think we've all always been big on those. It's just crazy. Just crazy. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, and then, I mean, there's so many different levels of grief, because then you can also grieve like the person that you were during that time too. Like, you are no longer ever going to be that same person again, because the tables have turned and now that's just not reality.
I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, I'm not the person I was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and it's strange too, because the person that I was prior to my parents passing away is very different than the person that I feel like I am now. But I feel like I've grown so much in a positive way that sometimes that feels weird too, because I'm like, oh, well, now they're gone and now I'm feeling better. No, you know,
100%. I think about that all the time, because there's some things I'm like, with the studio, I think if KJ was still here, would I have that? I don't think I would. And then you feel bad because you've accomplished something, you're doing something for you, but you also feel like, damn, did he have to die for me to get to where I am now?
Yeah.
That's a huge guilt for me, because I often think about things that we do and I'm like, did it all have to go in sequence to get here? Mm-hmm. And so when you find happiness in certain things, you almost feel bad. I lost you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can hear you, but I can't see you. That's okay.
Okay. I can see you and hear you.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. I can hear you, so we're just going to keep going.
Okay, that worked.
So, yeah, I mean, often it's just you feel bad because you're happy.
Yeah.
I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Or like, you've accomplished things that, yes, of course you wish they are here for and could, you know, be along that journey of being happy and excited for you and with you. But, you know, would it have all gone the same?
Right.
Yeah. I get that. The day that I got my mom's inheritance check, whenever we were closing out her estate, I had just started hair school and I was just on like cloud nine because I had finally done something that I've always wanted to do for myself. And it just, I didn't expect that little piece of paper to make such a big impact in my head. And as soon as I got it in my hands, I was like, this is it. That's all that's left. There's nothing, like, I lose this and then nothing.
Yep.
It was such a weird feeling.
Yeah. It's, there's so many tiny parts. And then, yeah, you get that last, you know, finalization of finalizing all the things. And you're like, well, shit. Now what?
Yeah.
Because now there's,
meanwhile, totally, everyone else has been moving on the entire time. Now you're just kind of barely starting to go.
Yep.
At least in my situation, that's how it was.
No, 100%. I totally feel like most people were continuing as they should, because clearly it affects us way differently than everybody else. And you can't be mad at people for that, but it does. It feels like your life stopped for mine was a solid year before I feel like I even started to life again. The second year was a little bit better getting into, but I feel like next year will be where we're really into the swing of things or back to life fully.
Right.
But yeah, you feel like everybody else kept going and you just got stuck here and trying to figure it out and wing it and finalize the things. And once you finish that up, you're just like, oh,
yep.
Well, that's it. It's totally it.
Yeah. Like that, the finalization of that. Like even I remember when we were picking out the headstones and stuff like that, like that didn't even seem solidified to me by that point. And that was, you know, so much seems so much earlier on in the process of whenever I lost my parents that we put my dad's urn in with my mom. So we just did one mm-hmm. headstone for them. But even like once that was set, I was like, okay, that's just like a little chip off the, you know, off of the little grief tree that I'm on right now. Like, okay, I made it through that. So weird
though. But like you said, that's early on too though. So you're still kind of in that fog. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was in that fog for at least 6 months, but probably most of the first year.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how I got through anything.
Exactly. And I mean, you're just every day, every hour, sometimes minute by minute, like it's just takes everything out of you. And like, that's okay, because that's how you heal through it, is by taking the time to recognize like, okay, I got to do the best that I can in order to get to my next, you know, that next checkpoint, whatever that is.
Right. Yep. Plus you got to take care of all the things and the kids and
mm-hmm.
try to take care of yourself and manage everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like losing anybody, I feel like there's an element of this, especially if it's unexpected, you know, like this element of you never get rid of that shock factor of, oh my God, I just never saw it coming. I never expected that that's how this was going to go.
Yeah, that's a hard one when you don't, obviously any death is hard, but when it's such a shock and there was literally nothing to show you it was coming. There was no rhyme or reason. It just suddenly happened. Is, I think Christy and I talk about it often. Like, do you think it's better to know? And
I feel like the grieving is,
and prepare for.
I feel like the grieving is different. If you are,
I agree.
If you know, like, with my dad, we knew like it was stage 4 cancer that he had. So like we pretty much, like I didn't understand what hospice was whenever my mom was like, oh, hospice is coming in. I'm like, okay, cool. They're going to help him out. Like bring him on in. Right. And then like everyone, like my grandparents are there and they have like, you know, like the preacher that I haven't seen in years. I'm like, who is this dude and why is he here? Like everyone, like what's going on? And
how old was you when your dad was sick?
Let's see. I would have been 24. Yeah. Cause I had Emma early because my dad was going in for a stem cell transplant and we weren't sure if he was going to make it back out of that. So mm-hmm. I set up an induction date with my doctor. And so my dad got to meet Emma before he passed away, and he lasted a couple of months after that, but it was he was very, very sick and deteriorated really quickly after that, which was very hard to watch.
Absolutely.
Not only as a daughter, but as a a new mom and everything mm-hmm. else. So don't mind me. Oscar's just begging to be on camera. He was trying to beat down the door earlier.
Do you think you, which it was a different type of grief, do you think you handled it differently from when your dad passed to when your mom passed?
Yes, with my dad, I didn't really I was working in a hospital setting whenever it was happening, and so I felt like I knew a lot of what was going on or could go on, that kind of thing, because I had a lot of different people that I could call to and be like, hey, my dad's having this, like, why typically does somebody have to have this type of testing? If I had questions and didn't fully understand it, or if my parents needed things, deciphered. So that
Yeah.
was different, because I think in my head it was more of like, okay, there's definitely a medical reason right now, and that's what's going on, that's what's wrong, and the end of this equation equals death. Like, that's just what this equation equals. So, because it was laid out so logically for me, I feel like that was quite a bit easier for me to wrap my head around. I still struggled with it, of course, but
Yeah, absolutely.
because I could pinpoint different things to, okay, well, this test didn't go correctly, so now that's why we're here. And just having those answers made it very different for my brain to go through the process of like, yeah, it sucks that he's not here, but yeah, he was in a lot of pain and all of those things, you can see it very differently. Whereas if it's unexpected and you're like, what do you mean? They're just not here
Right.
anymore.
Yeah. Is therapy the your main thing that's helped you with grief, with your grief?
Therapy, journaling. I'm definitely a pen or pencil to paper type of person. I find that my head quiets quite a bit more if I write things out and give myself the time to actually try to solve the problem myself, like, so to speak, like, okay, because I'm the person that's gonna dig and be like, why do you feel like this? Why, like, at the end of the day, like, let's get to the root of the problem.
But that's good because that's really what's
Right.
needed. And that was one of my big things was a lot of self-reflection, a lot of really feeling it to be able to heal better,
Right.
not quicker, but better, and be okay with what has happened.
Yes, a more well-rounded, I feel like it's a more well-rounded understanding of how you feel at the end of the day whenever you've gone through the self-reflection aspect of it, for sure. It was funny. So the therapist that I'm seeing now is not the therapist that I saw whenever my mom passed away. This new guy got dropped in my lap like the day or two after everything happened at the property, and I was like,
Oh my goodness.
hey, sorry, here's a quick rundown on my past trauma, and then let's get to the meat and potatoes of why we're here.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. And he was like, well, I mean, he's like, honestly, I'm really impressed with like how self-aware you are. And I was like, well, thanks, but like, also, we're going nuts up here. Let's figure
Right,
it
we need some help today.
out. Yes, I'm here for the rapid ball conversation that I need. And like, that's really what I use therapy for, is just to have somebody that I guess can have that open-mindedness about whatever it is that I'm speaking on, and then be like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna ask this, see how they respond, and then see where my head goes with it. It just works for me.
And a lot of people, it does work for. A lot of people need therapists and somebody else to talk to. And it also helps to have someone who don't really know your life.
Exactly
You get to
that.
tell what you want to tell, and they don't know any backstories and things like that. And even if you're not seeing a therapist, maybe that's a new friend or something like that, that they don't know shit about your life. They're just coming into it in the mix of the chaos, and they see it differently.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, that is sure. That's helpful. Absolutely helpful. Because sometimes you don't want to talk to people who know.
Yeah.
All of your fucking anything. Life. And yeah, the response is different, I think.
Yeah. I have also figured out, this is my first male therapist that, I've ever spoke with before. And I feel more open with him. And I don't know if it was because I just had to lay everything out right on at the very first appointment and like,
immediately.
And just get into like, hey, help me please right now. And I don't know if that's why our relationship is different or what, but like, I think I might've finally found a really good therapist. Like the other people I've seen in the past, I'm like, I guess it's working, or like, I think it's time for us to break up for a little bit and I'll come back to you whenever I feel like I need your assistance kind of thing. It was a very on my terms relationship with my therapist in the past. Whereas now I feel like I'm more invested in the long term of making sure my well-being is in check.
But I think that's just like finding a doctor that you like. I mean, you, especially with therapy, you have to find somebody that gets you, who you don't feel judged, who's going to go along with it, and who you're comfortable spilling all your shit to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's just part of the process, and you may go through several. Like I said, the guy that I seen, super nice. Really liked him, but I don't think he knew a damn thing about grief, so I wasn't staying. And then by then I'm like, because it was later on when I decided to see a therapist, and then by then I'm like, look, I've done half did this shit by myself, so I'm gonna just keep going.
Exactly.
I wasn't interested in finding nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, and it gets exhausting. I mean, it's almost what I mean. I'm happy that this therapist happened to fall into my lap the way that it worked out. But I mean, a couple of people that I know have been shopping for their mental health providers, and it breaks my heart to see them going through like, that's not the one for sure. And you know,
and then you have to keep repeating the same shit of why you're here in the first place.
Exactly. Yes.
You're like, can you just give me my book that you wrote down so I can just pass it from one person to another? They can read it before I even meet them. And we see where we're at.
Yeah.
There's going to be a better way here to shop for a therapist.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely and I wonder if they do it as like a test to see like how open you'll really be with them versus the notes that your previous provider may have handed off to them. But also, I mean, when anyone takes notes, typically it only makes sense to you, not to anybody else. So
yeah,
unless you're getting real specific about what's, you know, your charting aspect of things.
Right. Which most people aren't. So
yeah.
Well, is there anything else you would like to share?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see like the amount of grief and tragedy that has happened in the time that Thomas and I have been married to each other, you know, and to see how truly differently everyone really does handle their shit. And at the end of the day, like, you just gotta find your people that get you and that you're okay with being who you are.
Yeah, you know,
unapologetically.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like, hey, I know I'm being a tyrant today, but you gotta tough it out because this is where I'm at.
Right. Yeah. Since you and Thomas have been together, I mean, there's been a lot of shit.
Yeah. Just
overall. In between deaths and lost friendships and shitty family members and just the variety of things. Like, life is crazy. And sometimes you sit back, you're like, whose fucking life is this? And who does this shit? Like, literally. I was talking to Nancy last night, and we're like, what the fuck? Like, who does this?
Like, I know. Literally. It's crazy. And I mean, of course, every family thinks that their family is the craziest family on the planet. Yeah. But by far, I will say, we might take a cake or two.
We definitely take a couple on some of the sides. It's fine. We're there. Yeah.
You know, but like at the same time, it's really cool to see the people who are your people, even within your, like, in my family, I was taught, you know, blood is blood and they're always there and that kind of thing. But, and the reality of it, like, it takes two people, or, you know, it's effort on each side. And, mm-hmm. you know, if one side feels slighted in any type of way, then, you know, a wall goes up and yep. you're just like, all right, well, I'm here if you decide to do X, Y, Z, you know, and it's hard as an adult to have to like puff your chest out and have to say those things to people that you thought like were your people. That's hard.
Yeah. But in, as when I've learned more recently that when death comes, man, you lose a shit ton of people.
Oh yeah.
Like a lot of people that you wouldn't think. And then on the other side of it, you have people show up that maybe was just acquaintances for years, never really in your friend circle or never really hung out close. But then they are the ones that show up and are like, hey, what do you need? And they're there, which
yeah.
blew my mind. The whole aspect of how all that played out. But, and then you find new people that may have not been in your life if this didn't happen. So it's just yeah. it's all fucked up.
Definitely.
it's just crazy. But this is the life we're living in. What do? You keep going and.
Yeah.
For me, there's no other option. You just keep going and see how the shit plays out.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It's my, so my mom's side of the family is quite large. She was one of 10 kids and, oh, wow. There's eight out of the 10 kids are still living and, all of my mom's family kind of lives about 45 minutes away from me here. And, I jokingly was talking to my therapist about going to my cousin's funeral. And I was like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to the family funeral home. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, like since I've been 6 years old, anyone who dies in our family, they go there. Like no questions about it. And then you get buried here.
And there's that twisted sense of humor.
Exactly.
You're like, it's me.
Like, oh, other people don't have this? What do you mean?
Jeez.
And you know, like it's sad, but you know, at funerals it's a people come in from out of town and it's a time that you usually don't get to see people. So my family's twisted and morbid, so we take pictures. And Thomas thought that was real fucked up. He was like, He was like, what are you guys doing? I was like, it's closed casket, it's fine. Her hair looks fine sure. in there. She don't know. Oh man. Yeah, it's a weird, funny thing that happened at my cousin's funeral. I was standing there talking to my aunt and a couple of my cousins. One of my uncles walks up behind me. He's using a walker and everything. And he looks at me and was like, oh my gosh, hey, how are you? And I was like, oh, I'm doing great. It's so nice to see you. And he was like, I have been calling your mom and she has not been answering me.
Oh my God.
Like, have you talked to her? And I was like, you holy know what? Shit. I've been calling her. She hasn't been answering me either. But if I talk to her, I'll tell her that she needs to get a hold of you. Meanwhile, the rest of my family all turns their backs to me because they can't keep a straight face. And all I'm thinking is, if her brother doesn't know that she's dead, I'm not going to tell him in the middle of the family funeral home where he's going to be next.
Yeah, no. I don't just and then you get to a point where you're like, if you don't joke about the shit, what do you do? I
Please.
mean, yeah, if he didn't know and we're three years in?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I know. I'm like, it's cool. I'll let her know.
Nobody invited him to the
Yeah, so one of my aunts was like, oh, did you take your vitamin whatever today? And he was like, I don't know. I'm like, it's cool.
Yeah, we're definitely not gonna repeat that she died. No
I'm like, you're.
reason for it.
I don't think so at this point.
No, we did when my grandma was dying. She used to talk about my grandpa who had passed years before her, and she would talk about him like he was alive. And finally, you just get to the point where why argue with her? Why tell her he's not? Just he's wherever you think he is. If that makes you happy, then that's the story I'm going with. And some people would get mad and some people would argue with her, and I'm like, for what though? She's fucking dying. She just tell her what she wants to hear. Make her happy.
And I'm like,
I'm not gonna tell her over and over again that her husband died. I'm not the one.
Like, why make someone, it's, kind of like the 50 First Dates thing, like, find
Right,
an
they're gonna have a
avid.
horrible day every day.
That's awful. No,
No.
let's not do that. And just, you
No.
know what? I haven't heard from them either. And what an asshole they are.
Right, but hey, tell them call me if you do talk to them.
Yes.
Fuck
One of my friends, she's a psychic medium. So, I kind of have like a somewhat of a direct link into my parents whenever I feel the need, or if they have something that they really need to tell me, all of a sudden I'll get a call from her, which I mean, we talk regularly, but I'll get
Yeah.
a serious phone call and she's like, hey, your mom told me this. And it's like, I'm tired of listening to this song and you just got to know this stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks.
And but it's those little tidbits that you're like, oh, okay, she's there. That's those little things. Seeing a medium did help me a lot. So yeah, I mean, and he and I are now friends, so he has agreed to be on the podcast, so hopefully he'll be the next setup. But yeah, it's nice to have those little tidbits that you're just like, okay, just even if you weren't thinking about it, that is it's just there to carry you through.
And she'll just like, or I'll randomly, there's a certain part of the our driveway whenever I'm driving like to leave, I always see cardinals like swoop down right there and I'm like, oh. And like I saw my mom's a dragonfly. I learned that, which I mean I always kind of suspected that. But yeah, she's a dragonfly. I think my dad's a squirrel, but I haven't figured out his actual creature yet, so to speak.
I think KJ's is a red bird. We have a certain one that I think is him. But today we have a breezeway, and I walked out. I walked outside to go feed the cow, and a male red bird stuck on my breezeway. Not the one that I think is KJ. So I catch him and put my hand out for him to fly away, and the little bastard turned around and bit the shit out of me before he left. Was like, look. Which is crazy to me because for years KJ talked shit about you're the animal whisperer, all the animals like you. Look, not lately. The bird done bit the shit out of me.
Oh
We
no.
went to the petting zoo last night, and there was a reindeer. I've been wanting to see a reindeer. He wasn't having it. Not
Oh
feeling people.
no.
Then they had camel, and I love me some camel. And me and this camel was friends for a minute, so we weren't. Then he tried to fucking eat me. So then when I got the bird this morning, I was like, look, fuck these animals. I'm done. I'm done. They all used to like me, but not anymore.
They said, come back to us in 2024. Maybe we'll turn over a new leaf by then.
This is not working. I'm like, what is wrong? I'm not used to this reaction from animals.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. One day we'll get some animals out here.
Like a One cow day. You can have?
Bring I know. To you. I gotta find another cow for him to have a friend, though.
I think Thomas said no.
I know. But what's he going to do if the cow's just here? I don't know how I got here. He walked this whole way. We can't send him back.
And these are the shenanigans that we get into.
Exactly. Why I can't be trusted.
All right, girl. Well, we're going to end it on that note. I appreciate you being here and sharing some of your story with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right. Thank you. Maybe we'll see you again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.